Highway Patrol headed towards the scene. Stay tuned for the Noon Balloon with Michael Zwirling on KSCO. Dead Doctors Don't Lie on KOMY. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville. It's 6 minutes past noon.
You sound like me, Don. Dry mouth?
No.
I can't talk either today. What's wrong?
It's because it's Thursday.
Oh!
Yeah, that means it's okay. Not quite Friday.
All righty. Yeah, I understand.
Something like that.
We're going to have a blast today on the Noon Balloon. You know how I know?
No.
Because
it's
sort of spontaneous, okay? I mean, as recently as 4 hours ago, I had no idea what we were going to do, but I pulled something out of the hat. I pulled a rabbit out of the hat, okay? Let's just start the show officially, okay?
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride?
Hey, welcome to the Noon Balloon Thursday edition. It's August 7th in the year of our Lord, 2008. MZ sitting in for, who am I sitting in for? Billy? Yeah, Billy normally does it today. And I guess he is indisposed. All right. Hey, we did that Saturday special promo and we shot it down. You got that? Or is that here somewhere? Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah, we can play that during the program. I see it. 122 Charlie Bass, I see it. You know what? There's too much politics and too much seriousness on this station most of the time. So, you know, I am into this whole, bringing the 21st century to our listeners. We've got a great guest today. His name is Yaro, and he's from Brisbane, Australia, but he's in Toronto, Canada. Are you not, Yaro?
I am definitely in Toronto at the moment.
Cool, and you sound like you're right in the room with us. Isn't technology amazing? Yaro, pronounce your last name for us, okay?
It's Starak.
S-T-A-R-A-K. Yaro Starak. What kind of a name is that?
Pretty wacky one. My dad's fault, basically. He's born in the Ukraine, and from there he was immigrated everywhere else, but that's where the name originally comes from.
Oh, okay. Because there's Peter Yaro from Peter, Paul, and Mary, the folk singing group, but that's a last name, huh?
I didn't know that was his last name, but I know Peter, Paul, and Mary. So.
Yeah, Peter Yaro, and I think the spelling is the same as your first name, Y-A-R-O. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think so. Anyhow, you are a professional blogger, which means that you make your living by blogging on the internet. Am I right?
That's right. Yes, I do.
Golly gee. I mean, and you're what, 29 years old?
Just turned 29 in July. Yes.
Happy birthday there, Yaro. This is good. And, did you used to have a job that you didn't like?
You know, I don't really have a story like that. I knew from a very young age that I didn't want to have a job that I didn't like. So I look for ways to start businesses straight out of university.
Yeah. I had a job that I didn't like. It lasted long enough for me to get fired in a day and a half and never again. So it sounds like you never even went that route. Huh? You always did what you wanted to do from day one. Huh?
Well, not quite that good, but as close as I could until I reached this point now. So I had a few jobs I didn't like, but none of them were full time.
So look, if you were born in 1979, okay, that was the year that I bought my first computer, which was an Apple II, and got real interested in microcomputing myself. And you were just a newborn.
You know, I didn't actually have computers either for a long time. I played Nintendo and Sega and all that sort of thing. I wasn't into computers. So.
Oh, what happened?
You can start late.
Yeah, well, what happened?
You know, I got to university, and they gave these free internet accounts as part of your undergraduate course there, and I just started spending way too much time, and instead of getting drunk like most of my friends were, I was trying to work out how to build a web page. So
uh-huh.
Call me geeky, but I have to wear that label with pride.
So what year was that, would you say?
That would have been, I got my account in 98.
So really, the internet was already pretty popular by the time you showed any interest at all, huh?
It was. The self-publishing was, you know, just getting started, though. I think if you're, any of your listeners know of GeoCities or
sure.
Angel Fire, these sort of website tools where you could build your own website, and I was using those to begin with.
Uh-huh. But no longer?
No longer. No, that was a short-lived frustration.
And the reason is it's just better to have a professional, I mean, a regular hosting service for...
Yeah, it's, you know, it's come a long way since then. It's become easier and you get more tools and, it's, you know, it's just anyone who can get into this nowadays as long as you're prepared to learn something new.
What were you planning to do? Or did you get a college degree?
I did. I got my business management degree.
Business management from...
From the University of Queensland down in Brisbane, Australia.
Uh-huh.
Got to correct you, it's Brisbane, not Brisbane.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's
sorry. Right. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Brisbane. Okay.
Yep.
Is there such a place as Brisbane?
only when I think North American people come down and visit.
Right.
So it's like Melbourne.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. That'll be great because I've never been there. I'm really excited to go. Several years ago, I had planned to go because the nutritional supplement business I'm quite involved in sort of expanded to Australia and New Zealand. And I just haven't, just for whatever the reason, the years have passed and I haven't gotten down there. But maybe this year, and
yeah,
if not this year, next year for sure.
You got to do it while there's planes still flying at reasonable prices. So.
Yeah. So you are visiting where you have relatives, right?
That's right. I've been to Canada a dozen times in my life, and it's sort of my second home, but Brisbane's my first. So.
Now, when we first talked on the phone, I said, you don't talk funny. Are you sure you're not an imposter of an Aussie? And you said you owe that to losing the accent to, you owe it to whom?
Not even losing it. I was born and raised in Brisbane, but my parents, I guess I was a good listener, and they had the accent. Neither of them were born in Canada, but they did spend a lot of their formative years there. So I just picked up the accent for, I don't know, from them. It's unusual. Most people.
But can you do an Aussie on command if you wanted to and needed to?
That's the worst thing. I can't do it. Like, I have people don't believe that I'm Australian while I'm in Australia, and I know Brisbane better than other people because, you know, I haven't grown up there, so
isn't
I can give them street directions.
Fascinating.
And they don't know.
So. That's really fascinating. There's a guy named Philippe Kahn who lives around these parts. He founded a company named Borland International. I don't know if you've heard of that over there, and a number of other software companies that have been phenomenally successful. And he's a Frenchman, a French mathematician, who had a pretty heavy accent. But by the time I met him, it was all gone. And I said, how did you do that? He says, I don't know, I just worked at it, as he said, you know. And he, not the slightest twinge, or not the, you know, no vestiges of a French accent. And you're exactly the same with
well, I haven't tried. So I could
try,
I guess. So
try.
I can't put the Aussie accent on. I'm traveling with an Australian right now. I know there's a few words every now and there. I hear like Vancouver, but you know, it's really, I have trouble with it. So.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. We don't have to dwell on that.
Yeah,
let's talk about making money on the internet. Okay. I mean, isn't that sort of a neat subject to talk about?
So one of my favorites. That's
yeah. And so you're doing it, right?
I've been doing it for about 7 years now, in some shape or form. So.
And you make enough, I'm presuming, this is sort of a personal question, but I mean, it's sort of, you know, if you Google you, I mean, it'll sort of lead you there, you know, to this kind of a topic here. So what would normally be considered a rude question is, I'm not going to ask you how much you make, but I am going to say, presumably you make enough money to not have to have a day job somewhere else. From your professional blogging activities, am I right?
Well, yes, and we could talk about money. I've got some blog posts out there that specifically give, I make $10,800, et cetera, in this month from blogging. So it's not that private. It sort of helps with the believability of this whole concept.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the money, so.
Well, how do you make money with the internet? Now, I know that if you have an understanding and are clever with keywords and so forth, that you could use Google AdWords and get up to speed on that, which I am not. And I've got to tell you that I'm both proud and ashamed. I'm proud because we as a radio station had one of probably the first 10 websites of any radio station in the world, you know, back in the early 1994 is when we put it up. But we haven't done a damn thing with it. So you would think that we would have been on the cutting edge, but it just sort of fell by the wayside because it's just such a fluid business, you know, that we're always looking for, you know, content. I mean, we're a 24/7 radio station, and you know, a lot of our content comes in piped in off the satellite. That's syndicated programming produced by others. But as much as we can, we like to produce our own content, and doing that can sop up all your time so that you don't have time to maintain a website. So we've got an okay website, but it's not maintained. And so, and the time has just gone by. And so wouldn't you think that a radio station of all places, it's a kind of business that doesn't have a problem of how do you get people to go to your website once you have a great website with lots of content. We don't have that problem. Our problem is once you get there, it gets pretty boring pretty fast because it doesn't change very often.
It's quite a coincidence. The analogy there between what it takes to make a blog popular is very similar. You know, you do have to put a lot of work in getting content, and that's at the heart of it, what will make a good blog. So anyone who's into this needs to figure out a way, whether it's write content themselves or, you know, record a podcast or do some video or grab some other people and get them to do it for you. So if, you know, assuming you can get that part handled, just like you must do with your radio station, right? It's another very similar analogy here with the model of making money is we're getting advertisers and sponsors to sponsor our blogs.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to have the audience.
In a world where increasingly, it just seems to me, Yoro, that just about every business, every new business that you hear about being created is some advertising-based business where you give away something of value, you know, like Yahoo did. They gave away free email addresses, you know, and then Google gave away better quality email addresses and so forth. Something of value that you give away, and like we do, we give away presumably local radio that people find fascinating here in the Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and South San Francisco Bay radio markets. And there's no charge involved in listening to we put out some promos every once in a while saying this valuable certificate will entitle the bearer to, you know, 1,080 hours of free listening to KSU. It's sort of a joke, you know, because it's free to listen. But we make our money, and we're an old media company, you know. The radio broadcasting has been around for, you know, many decades.
Uh-huh.
And the way we make our money is by presumably putting out enough quality content that enough of an audience gets built to be of value to advertisers who pay us real cash money, you know, to get their messages to our audience. But am I right that, I mean, how much can the world take of just about every new business being an advertising-based business? There aren't more advertisers. There are just more ways to cut the pie thinner and thinner and thinner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And in fact, one of the angles I take that's a little bit different from that model is the creation of your own information products and selling that from your blog. So, you know, you don't want to depend on just advertising. It's certainly a great source of income, but, you know, writing your own ebook or report or, you know, doing a series of training programs, that's something I do, is a much more stable way of making an income from, you know, it'd be like you selling university courses on your radio show.
Idea. Let's do that. Yeah. Michael Olson here, our general manager, was talking about a Penny University here on the radio, but because we're here in a university town at the University of California, Santa Cruz.
Right.
And it's a potpourri of talented, you know, resources, you know. Tell us about your blog and your activities on a typical day in your business life, which sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, it's been on the run in the last 4 or 5 months. I've been traveling, but my blog is called Entrepreneur's Journey, and it's been a chronicling of my journey to start internet businesses and just talk about entrepreneurship. So, you know, it's very organic. I, like a radio show, I talk about whatever I'm interested in and what other people are interested in the moment. And it's very much a chronicle of what I've done. If you go back into the archives on my site, at one point I was running an English school. At one point I was running a proofreading business. Before that I had a website based on a hobby. So all of that is chronicled in this blog up to the present day, where I'm talking about more current things, a bit more about blogging and so forth.
And you collect money electronically through credit cards and debit cards and so forth on the internet through secure?
Predominantly PayPal, which I'm sure you
know. Oh, sure.
Aware. Yep.
Sure. In fact, there are a lot of people who over the years have said to us, you know, publicly by calling our talk shows, wow, I mean, I love your station so much. If I had a business, I'd be advertising for sure. And I said, well, you don't have to own a business to support us. If you want, you can. Well, one of our talk show hosts, Vernon, who will do this program tomorrow, came up with the idea of setting up a PayPal account for people who just like the radio station and want to kick in some bucks, you know, to help us do more original content. And that's what we do. So it's amazing. And every once in a while, I get a little email saying, so-and-so has, you've just received a PayPal payment. It's absolutely amazing.
You know, a lot of bloggers are putting a similar button on their blog that says, donate to me now if you want, you know, to support what I'm doing. And same system. Send the money through PayPal.
Do you do that, or it's that sort of, you know, little?
I haven't. I haven't felt the need to ask for donation. I don't have anything against it, but I'm happy with the income I'm generating from other sources, so I don't.
Other sources within cyberspace, right? I mean, you
advertisers.
Don't have, you don't, yeah, advertising and
affiliate
and program. selling your courses and so forth.
Yes.
Uh huh. And what about affiliate programs? Is Google AdWords the principal? And I guess Amazon. Those are the two that come to mind.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. You don't want to say AdWords. It's actually AdSense. Yes, Google AdWords is the one where you buy traffic. AdSense is the one where you can make money by putting the ads on your blog. So that's the first port of call for most bloggers. They'll try AdSense to begin with.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't work so well for my blog. It's, you know, I get more money from using direct to sponsors types of advertising rather than going through Google as a middle person. But it's, for some blogs, it's amazing. And, you know, if you're writing about gadgets or technology or, you know, anything that where there's lots of products to sell, AdSense can do some wonderful things for you.
And it seems to me that one of the most brilliant things that the Google people came up with is their you know, keywords that get picked up in Gmail accounts in you know, when people do their Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine, actually two friends of mine, Dennis from Day and Night Computer and Trucker Tom, the world famous podcaster, told me about the same time. They said, MZ, they heard me complaining about Outlook and how the file got to be so big that it started choking the, you know, the computer, you know, because I get a lot of emails with attachments and, you know, with audios and videos
All right.
things like that. So it tends to fill up, you know, if you have the kind of an email system where it just keeps appending and adding to a file that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It gets to the point where it gets so big that it affects the use of your computer, and it just slows it to a crawl or down to nothing. And that kept happening to me. So I was told by my two friends independently that the smartest thing I could do is start getting used to using Gmail. And that's what I did. And my whole life is on Gmail now. I email to myself anything that's important, that's worth saving. And that way I can get copies of it on all my computers, wherever they are, really quickly.
It's an amazing service for a free service, isn't it?
Yeah.
Google.
But what they did, that's so amazing, is that they sort of sniff or scan or spider, I don't know what these words are, but they, when I write a Gmail to you and you pick it up, or if one of us goes through Gmail, then the Gmail you know, spy bots or whatever you call those things pick up various words and pair it with various ads that makes sense. Hey, that must be where AdSense came from. Or is that AdWords?
No, you got it right. I'm not sure if that's where the word comes from, but it's a nice play on words.
Yeah.
And yeah, they can, and the amazing thing about that is they're not invading your privacy. It's all done through robots. So, great system. That's how they can make it work.
So, right. So how much money can an ordinary blogger who has, you know, interesting things on his or her blog make by just affiliating, you know, properly?
Well, you know, it is a question of having an audience to begin with. It doesn't really matter. You know, you can't talk about money until you talk about having.
You can quantify your audience a lot more scientifically than we can quantify ours, right?
Yeah.
Anything unless we get more web-based, which we plan to do. And in fact, any business that does not plan on getting more web-based, I think should plan for its funeral.
So painful, but yes.
I mean, do you think I'm being, you know, too extreme with a statement like that?
I don't think so. I mean, if your demographic is very netphobic and they're not planning on switching over, then perhaps you can survive. But I, you know, give a few generations, I don't think that will, there'll be a demographic that doesn't use the net in some shape or form. So, yeah, but you're quite right. The stats I can see of visitors to my site, the quality I can tell anywhere in the world where they're coming from and how long they spent and what pages they visited.
And these are real. I mean, it's not like, well, I was going to talk about podcast downloads next. If you do a podcast occasionally?
I do a podcast, yep.
Okay, now for those of you who have heard that word or haven't heard that word but don't know what it means, a podcast is sort of like a on-demand digital form, not live. It could be very close to live, but it can't actually be live right now, I don't think, can it?
Well, you could stream it, so you could have a live call-in show, and then it goes up as a downloadable podcast later on as well.
Yeah. Which I guess is what we do, but in the truest sense of the word live, okay, to my knowledge, I don't know of any internet connection that doesn't have some sort of, that's not subject to net congestion and hence a delay. When I listen to the KSCO stream, you know, from whether I'm listening to it in Santa Cruz or whether I'm listening to it in New York City, It's always anywhere from 45 seconds to maybe a minute and a half or 2 minutes delayed. Do you know of any, you know, real time, you know, streaming?
It'd be really hard to, like you're saying, I mean, you have to get the information sent through wires, so there's going to be a delay there. But I don't know about radio, but isn't there a few seconds delay there as well with it going from...
Well, we don't use the audio condom here. I shouldn't be saying that. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of stations do use what they call it, like a 10-second delay. The day might come when we'll do that. I hope it doesn't, but if it does, we will.
Right.
And there are electronic delay units that are built for that purpose, dedicated units. In fact, you know, when I bought the radio station nearly 18 years ago, it came with one of those units, and we've never used it. But that's one reason why at least with current technology, and until it changes, the whole idea of live, excuse me, real-time interactive talk radio on the internet isn't going to be a happening thing. But the closest thing to it, it's like 99% is good.
Pretty close.
Is anything, if you just say, hey, I'm doing this webcast only, and it is interactive, so if you call me at this phone number or this Skype number or this Magic Jack number or whatever, between the hours of such and such and such and such, and you say what part of the world you're in, then you can become part of this program, but it won't, you know, it won't go out simultaneously. You might have to wait an hour or half hour or something to listen to it.
But that's part of the appeal. I mean, the whole concept of time shifting when you consume content. Like, in fact, I would like to see more mainstream content, radio, television, and so forth, have the option to download a show after the fact, in particular television. And I don't understand why, since it's already a, you know, not a free medium, but it's, you know, funded by sponsors, why they can't also have that available to download. But I'm, you know, I'm sure there's all kinds of digital rights issues there. But that still is one of the appeals, so you can take the information and consume it when you can rather than at a time you have to. You know?
Uh-huh. We're talking with Yaro Starek, who is from Brisbane, and he happens to be in Canada at the moment, and he is our special guest on the Noon Balloon today. He's a professional blogger, actually makes his living, and a pretty good one, I assume, by using his blogs in the proper way. And now you say your blog address is an entrepreneur's journey. Is it .com or is it?
Yeah, you know, I tell people the best way to find is Google my name, which is Yaro, Y-A-R-O. I'll be the first result for that search.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
The only one Yaro that I, well, it's actually my dad as well, but I'm the more internet famous
one. You mean just plain Y-A-R-O and nothing else?
That's it.
Wow. That's amazing. It makes it, almost makes it worth changing one's name.
Yeah, you can be like a Madonna or, you know, that famous.
God person. Dang, what a great idea. Okay, so why would some, now people are going to do that because you've given them a reason to right now, and I'm sure you'll, I don't know how many, I don't know whether you'll get one or none or 100, contacts through email or whatever as a result of this program. But, whatever. it's 29 minutes before 12, before 1 p.m. on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's MZ guest hosting the Noon Balloon today. And we're talking about making money on the internet, which is one of my favorite subjects. boy, when someone figures out a way, it's really something. I mean, you know, I mean, what is, does Google make $1 billion a day or something like that?
Something crazy.
Just amazing. Just absolutely amazing. And, you know, the big ones, the big money makers in the world of cyberspace and World Wide Web would have to be Google, right? Google at the top, followed by who else?
Well, you know, you've got the big three in the search engine world, which is Google, Microsoft, and Yahoo.
Uh-huh.
But they're not necessarily, I don't know, the biggest three if we're talking about, you know, raw dollars made. I don't know, whatever would be sure where to go. I'm pretty sure
it's got to be Google. It's got to be Google at the top.
I'm not sure, you know, Amazon, but I don't know how good their margins are. I mean, they sell a lot of product, but it's a different business model. So, yeah. But Google's definitely got one of the best business models out there. The way they make money from, you know, having so many users, all mostly using them for free, is amazing.
Isn't that the same, pretty much the same model that Yahoo used by giving away nice email addresses?
Yeah, well, that's most of the most successful businesses seem to be based, like we talked about earlier, on some kind of free giveaway to start with, and then once they've captured an audience, finding ways to make money from it.
Hmm. I just thought the other day about, would it be a value for people who like KSCO to have a @KSCO web email address? Or who cares? You know, I mean, what do you think? That's sort of a neat idea, huh?
Yeah, I think an email address to begin with, certainly. But, I mean, you've got a streaming service, so that's a pretty good start. And, you know, it'd be great to have more kind of interactive feedback going on. Like, if we were having a call right now and we were getting emails and, you know,
yeah, we should go ahead and invite calls. By the way, we haven't done that yet. If you want to call the program today, the same number applies, 831. Most of you probably don't need to dial that. It's 479-1080. If you want to email, my email address is mz@ksco.com. I don't have my email open, but I will do that right during or after the break here. And there's a lot more ahead if you want to give us a call here. Again, 479-1080. Some people still use faxes who don't want to go on the air. Our fax number is 475-2967. And again, the email address is mz@ksco.com. If there's anybody out there who wants to, is just intrigued with the idea of not having a boss and, harnessing this amazing thing called the World Wide Web as a way to make an independent living for yourself, not have a boss. Wow, we're going to get more into it with this professional blogger who's been making his living from blogging for how long?
From blogging about 3 years and from the internet about 7.
Really? Okay, and the last time you had a day job was when?
It would have been, I had a part-time job about 5 years ago now, getting close to that. Yeah.
So within a couple of years of you starting to make money with the web, or you know, seriously taking a stab at making money through the web, you were able to do it, make enough to live on, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, as soon as I was comfortable seeing, you know, $3,000 to $4,000 a month coming in over at least a 6 month period consistently, I thought, well, then I'm safe to quit the
podcast. Now, you're talking Australian dollars or U.S. dollars?
Most of my income is in U.S. dollars, so that would have been U.S. Back then. You know, it's I'm doing over six figures a year now. Obviously, it's been a journey to get to that point. But
When you got to the $3,000 to $4,000 a month, not too far into, starting, what were you? How was that money being generated? Was it through affiliate? You know, click-throughs or what?
A combination of advertising and affiliate programs.
So, like the chicken before the egg thing. That you could get any advertising at all must mean that you put some worthwhile content out, that you built a significant enough audience.
Right. And if you want steps for this, it really is step one, create the website, create the blog. Step two, write content to have some value at your site. Step three, market that content so people will find it on the internet. That will build the audience. And then step four, start testing different ways to make money from that audience. Advertising programs, affiliate programs, selling your own products. And those are the four steps that get you to the point where you can make a living from this, in that order.
And what kind of a budget do you need to have? The marketing has got to be the most expensive, right? Getting word out?
You know what? The most expensive is the cost it can take of your time, more than the financial cost. Because, you know, if you set up a blog and you've got it hosted and you know, you're not going to put any paid advertising out there, it'll cost you maybe $100 up front and then $20 a month. That's it. Problem is with that, you're on your own. You know, you have to get out there and promote everything using your own time. You have to create content on your own. So you're looking at, you know, investment of time and energy there. It's actually much smarter and much quicker if you hire people to handle a few jobs, like some of the technology challenges. You know, dealing with computers can be difficult. So I like to outsource some of that work to other people, and I focus on the writing.
Right. So do you have other people creating content? Well, I guess, you know, you're...
A little bit. Most
content.
Of it's driven by me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I used to own a blog that was written entirely by other people. So, I, like I said before, I bought and sold a few blogs as well. So,
really?
Yeah.
So
like real estate markets.
Wow. Why not? Yeah, now that I've never thought about that before, but why not? It's an asset. It's a tangible asset, a working blog. Just like a piece of real estate is a tangible asset, just like a radio station is an asset. Just, yeah, wow.
It is. It's like a real estate market. It's amazing. It's as if you were buying into a property market before a suburb became extremely popular because, you know, not many people are doing it yet. So you can get cheaper property and give yourself a few years. You can do amazing turnaround. You know, we're talking 100%. The biggest gain I've made is 1,000 turnover in profit. As in 1,000% turnover and profit over what I originally invested in a period of about 2 years.
Give us that example, if you don't mind.
That was a blog I purchased for $2,000, and I sold it for a little bit over $20,000 2 years later. So, you know,
you hear stories. You don't hear too many of these stories. I'm sure it's still going on of people buying domain names. Or people, you know, registering domain names with the thought of reselling them, dealing in the buying and selling of domain names. Now, what you're talking about, what you have, the example you just gave us is a lot more involved than just a domain name. But you started a blog, you bought a blog, I guess you said, and you built it up, and then you resold it.
It's very much like buying a business. I bought this blog. I put some people on to write it for me, hired a manager, an editor to look after it. It's like a magazine, and they made sure content was going up.
Well, if you're hiring people, you know, I know that when you hire people and you pay, you know, living wages and so forth, then your costs go way up. And so, you know, so if you bought something for $2,000 and you sold it for $20, yeah, it's 1,000% profit, but it doesn't sound like you ground in the cost of the people that you paid.
Well, see what happens with the way I did the model for this in particular blog was, because the blog already had traffic, I was able to get volunteer writers, and they were doing it for the exposure of their name.
I gotcha.
And I had an editor. They were paid on a contract basis. You know, it wasn't much more than an hour a day sort of work, just making sure that the site's working and content's going up. So, and of course, the site itself was making about, when I bought it, it was making about $200 or $300 a month.
Uh-huh.
And over the next few months, I grew it up to, eventually it was making about $1,500 a month. So, it, you know, it paid for itself, paid for the editor. And then when it came time to sell it, it was 100% margin on that selling price.
Yara, how do you know when that time is?
Why
didn't you just continue owning that and building it, and maybe it would be making $15,000 a month now?
And you know what? I really hope the person who bought it off me can take it that far. The reason I sold it was purely because of the amount of mind share it had. Even though I had an editor looking after it, I still had to spend a bit of time just being an overseer, you know, being the manager of it all. And I wanted to move my time, whatever time I did working, onto other projects.
Sure. So. No, that's very, very important. We're talking with Yara Starek, who is a professional blogger and most fascinating Noon Balloon today. We're going to take a commercial break, and we will come back with more on the Noon Balloon right after this. So do stay with us. There's a lot more ahead.
My name is Jeff Gallipo. I had Nature Elements and Katya and Alex come out to my house and assess my landscape situation. I recently bought a house that the yard was really out of control and beyond my ability definitely to get it back under control. And Katya had all sorts of amazing ideas for things that I could do and how to bring a lot of the plants that weren't in good health back into good health and what to do with different areas of the property that had different needs as far as sun and water. And she whipped my yard into shape in record time. I was amazed at how thorough and careful they were. And then we have gone on to do other projects that have worked on specific areas of the property, specific trouble spots. And I was totally impressed by their work ethic and diligence. They were thorough and efficient and done ahead of schedule. And Katya has tremendous plant knowledge. You can just point to something and she will tell you what's wrong with it. She just has it. I was very, very impressed.
Call me, Katya. My company is Nature Elements. My phone number is 831-359-7169.
Okay, I guess it's not automatic here. So.
Find out what's happening in the San Lorenzo Valley from me, the Valley's guy, Jason Madani. You'll hear it every Friday at 7:30 on KSCO. I'll let you know what's happening in the beautiful San Lorenzo Valley. News, sports, personalities, events. You'll hear it every Friday at 7:30 on the Valley Report on KSCO. Why? Because I'm the Valley's guy.
If you have pests, we have answers. With over 70 years of experience protecting homes and property from pests, you can rest assured that the Pied Piper Exterminators is the best choice for you to protect your home, garden, or business. The Pied Piper will protect your property from ants, fleas, rats, roaches, spiders, ticks, and any other kind of critter that's bugging you. Family owned and with offices conveniently located. Call on the Pied Piper today. For a free pest inspection and estimate, call 800-834-4034 or visit us on the web at thepiedpiper.com.
Bet you're going fishing all the time. Come on, baby, going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she going to catch more fish than you. Little fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I'm allowed to relate.
That little tip we'd like to relate is that you can catch as many fish as you want by tuning in to the Let's Go Fishing Show Thursdays at 7 p.m. right here on AM 1080 KSCO. That's Let's Go Fishing, Thursdays at 7 p.m. on AM 1080 KSCO.
Little fish bites, bigger, good big. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on. I'm going fishing, mama going fishing, the baby going fishing too.
Don't miss Alan Bushnell and Mike Baxter on the Let's Go Fishing Show, Thursdays at 7 p.m. right here on KSCO.
Young girl, I'm still in school. For those of our listening audience on Highway 68 near the Ryan Ranch, there are three or four deer on the road that are rather disoriented and causing some problems. So be aware and be on the lookout and be careful. Three or four deer on the road on Highway 68 in the vicinity of the Ryan Ranch. Okay, back to the Noon Balloon today on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We're talking with Yara Starek, who is a professional blogger. And let me bring Yara back on here. Got to get off the email here and back on to the phone system here. Jeez. How you doing there, Yara?
I'm good. You got me.
Yeah, I got you here. So let's see. Where were we? We were talking about some of your people that you have that have quit their day jobs, huh? Yeah, and that's what you sort of teach people to do, right?
Well, that's an ideal outcome, yes. If we can get that, everyone's happy.
Uh-huh. So how do you do that? Where'd you come up with the idea? And how? If someone wants to get in touch with you or inquire about taking your – is it an e-course on the web?
You know, I direct people to my blog. Again, that same thing we talked about before. Just Google my name, and there's so much free information there that can get you started with this. I have a free report on that website, too. It's all – very detailed and won't cost you a cent. I do have a paid coaching program, but I wouldn't recommend people jump into that until they sort of familiarize themselves with what this whole blogging thing is first. So,
well, look at that. I just did it. I just typed in Yaro on a Google search, and Internet Business Blog, EntrepreneursJourney.com by Yaro Star. Now, do you watch this every day to make sure that no other Yaro, you know, beats you out?
You know, I haven't had to worry about that for a long time. It's just...
You did at one time?
No, you know, it actually came about just by... I didn't expect it. You know, people started... You know, your search engine game, people start linking to your website using the keyword, your name, which is what happened to me. It's just so hard to lose that ranking. It's an obscure word, too, so I can't imagine anyone trying to take it down. Maybe after this call, it might change, and I'll be regretting
it. Oh, no, I gave people ideas. I do that to my own detriment and the station's detriment all the time.
Yeah.
You know, talk about having diarrhea of the mouth and giving people bad ideas where you wish you hadn't said something.
But to be honest, I don't know what would be in it for them besides making fun of me, so... You know?
What's in it for the hackers? You know, for the people who create the viruses. And by the way, are you like me who just naturally believe that the people who stand to make the most money from viruses are the virus, protection companies, the software companies? And so don't you think they create the majority of the viruses themselves?
As purely speculation, there's definitely a connection there between...
There's got to be.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a lot of industries like that. You could look at the healthcare industry, too, with pharmaceutical drugs. So, you know, but I don't want to go that way, so...
Oh, why not? That should get the phones ringing here. A little bit of controversy.
So. Stick to making money online, huh?
Okay. You know what? I think our audience must be bored with that because I would have expected our phones to be totally jammed now as they are when we talk about politics. So maybe it was a lousy idea for me to take a hiatus from politics today, you know? Because, I mean, it blows me away. To me, this is the most fascinating subject of all. Is not having a boss and doing what you, the internet provides a way for you, internet and blogging provides a pathway for anybody to earn a living and in some cases an excellent living doing what he or she is passionate about. Can you think of something more attractive than that? I can't.
I can't. That's why I do it myself. So.
Yeah.
I have a friend who, he started a car blog specifically targeting the Australian marketplace. And like you said, he just wrote about his love for cars and, you know, put out his opinion, whether good or bad, about all the new cars coming out. And, you know, short story, 2 years later, his blog's been valued at over $1 million. And
Just 2 years later. So the thing just sort of took on a life of its own, right? And it sounds like he didn't have to do too much in the way of marketing.
Well, you know,
it was just sort of the viral marketing from people.
Viral, yeah. That was definitely the clincher there. He's got people backing him now financially, you know, capital investors and there's chance of buyouts from big companies like Yahoo. So it's an amazing story, not a typical story, but it really just shows, especially if you really love what you're doing and you can make a living from it, it's a great way to make a living.
Here's a caller, Maddie in Santa Cruz. Hey, Maddie, welcome to the no, it's not the Saturday special. It's the noon balloon.
Hello.
Hey.
So I was just wondering, you know, how do you personally make your living off the actual blog?
Purely through advertising and selling my own products. So if you went to my blog now, you would actually see a few banners. There's one down the right side, there's four little boxes down the right side. You see a big banner down the bottom. I have sponsors paying me a monthly fee to put those banners there. So that's one of the ways I do it. I also will write a post talking about a product, like an ebook or something like that. And if I make a sale for that, they give me a commission. So if it's a $50 book, I'll get usually about 50%, so I'll get a $25 commission for that sale.
Okay. And who are you under? Like, what's your company or?
Oh, I run my own business. So there's no company you need to join or anything like that. You just start producing content and try and build an audience yourself. And you start off as a sole trader or an independent operator. And if you want, you can, you know, incorporate and become a company later on when things get going. But if you mean, like, how do you find the products to sell and that sort of thing, it depends what market you're in. There's a website called ClickBank, which is a place where a lot of information products are sold. And you can go there. Do a search. So if you're interested in gardening, for example, and your blog is about gardening and you want to sell other people's gardening information products, you'd go there, find a book you like, write a review about it, and you can make a commission that way. It's called ClickBank.
Okay.
Yaro, I'm looking at your sponsors and I see four of them at the moment.
Right.
I think I'm in the right place here. Yeah. Get Rich, The Next Big Boom. $8 billion, $900 million self-development boom. Get in now. Click here. Okay. Now, when I click there, do you send out a bill to this person, or did this person just buying space from you on your blog?
In this case, I charge a monthly rate, so it doesn't matter how many clicks or impressions it gets. You know, obviously for the advertiser, hopefully they're getting value as well. But
right.
In some cases, though, you're quite right. Like AdSense, for example, we talked about before, if you click that, then there would have been 5 cents, 10 cents, 20 cents credited to me, up to even $5 or $10 sometimes for the really popular things. But, you know, there's all kinds of triggers to make sure you're not doing click fraud as well. So.
Yeah. How much are your spots? I mean, what is this guy paying? Is that too personal a question?
No, it's just, if you click on the advertise button, you'll see the rates, but it's $250 a month per square. You see that you're in those four little squares, you see?
Uh-huh. Per square.
So that little area is making about $1,000 a month at the moment for me.
Let's see. Look, there's five of them.
Yeah, so a little bit more than that.
Yeah, so the gurus don't want you to click here. Oh, I see. No, the advertise here doesn't make you anything, because that's like a promo. That's like us getting on the radio and saying, hey, this spot's available.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you like to have your business promoted here? Yeah, advertise here. You know what you should do? You should charge yourself $250, and then you can honestly say, you know, that you can add that to your income. It doesn't, no one's business who's paying for it.
Honestly, it might be a subjective term there.
Yeah, sure you can. Because you could say you could another entity, whatever. Free book reveals how I made $313,000. Oh my God, we got another caller here. So Paul and Carmel, welcome to the Noon Balloon with Yaro and MZ.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey there, Paul.
Hi. In reference to setting up a blog website, I would like to know, is it possible to set up something where you give people information, which I don't want to reveal right now, on how to buy things, certain items, and what to look for when you buy it, the pitfalls?
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea. I do that myself with recommendations for other products. I'll do a review and say, you know, this is the good points about it, this is the bad points about it. It's a very effective technique to convince people to buy if it's right for them or not. There are some websites out there that specialize in particular in finding discounts for people, you know, coupons and that sort of thing. So, you know, if you can provide value in any way, like you're suggesting there, then it's certainly a viable topic, assuming there are people out there who are, you know, looking to buy those things you're reviewing.
Yeah, now if people are looking to buy a high-end item, I'm pretty well knowledgeable on it and have a lot of experience, which I'd like to know. Is that something I can sell? In other words, is it something they would have to email me and I would give them the information and therefore I'd make money doing that, charge them?
Not likely through email. You could do that, but that would be rather, labor, a lot of work involved doing that. I would, in your situation, just start the blog and put out some free information. That would be the first thing. I'll offer something for free, help people to a certain degree, and then hopefully after a few months you're going to build an audience, and they're going to trust you as a source of information about that type of high-end product. And then when, you write a review, what will happen is you'll have a link to the product in your review, and assuming there has to be some kind of affiliate system set up by the creator of that product for this to work. But if there is, then you just use that link. Someone clicks the link, that flags them as being referred by you. And if they then go through and eventually buy, when they go through that checkout process, it'll know that it was you as a referral, and you'll trigger a commission then, and that's when you'll get notified that you've made a sale, basically.
Okay. How would I go about doing that? Go to your website?
Well, the first thing you'd want to do is set up a blog. So, I have some free information there about how to get going, but I actually run a website called Become a Blogger. Just one word, becomeablogger.com. If you go check that out, there's some free videos. It'll teach you how to set your blog up, very, very basic steps. But really, what you want to do is to spend a bit of time learning how these things work, maybe read some other blogs, get yourself familiar with the world first, and then dive in starting your own blog.
Okay. And your website is?
My website, just Google my name, Y-A-R-O, or just go to that Become.
Y-A-R-O?
Yes. Uh-huh. And that will get you the first result for me.
Just Google that. And that's
yes.
It. All right, beautiful. Thank you very much for your help.
But remember, Paul, you got to keep giving content of value so that people...
Oh, yeah.
And then figure out something else to sell.
Yeah, well, I'm not looking to sell. What it is, I have a lot of experience on an item where even myself I've gotten burnt, and I know it's has a lot of pitfalls. And
but it's a secret. You don't want to talk about it on the air.
Not right now, because somebody else may jump onto it.
Oh, okay. All righty.
It's like the light bulb.
Yeah.
Thank
okay.
you.
There goes Carmel Paul. Here comes Carol in Scotts Valley. Welcome to the Noon Balloon with Yaro and MZ. Carol, you're on.
Hi. My question is, I like to write, but I'm not computer savvy. So to get started, what would your actual very first step be?
Well, Carol, it depends on how much of a glutton for punishment you are. If you really wanted to do it yourself and maybe, your budget's a bit tight, then there are some lessons out there you can get for free. You watch a video and then you try and complete the steps of the video. And that site I mentioned to the previous gentleman, becomeablogger.com, will give you some great starting tips on that. And
becomeablogger.com?
That's right.
Okay.
And, if you can follow those steps and create your blog, then you're on your way. You've got a blog set up. That might be too challenging for you. And to be honest, my advice to most people is to actually get a local computer geek, someone who knows computers well, pay them $100 or $50, something like that, and say, I want a blog set up. I would like a WordPress blog. You might want to write that down. It's a tool for blogging. It's called WordPress.
WordPress?
Yeah.
Okay, and what actually is that? That's a program?
It's like the software that you run the blog from. So once you've got that installed on a web server, and these videos would teach you all of this, but basically you've got a tool then, and you can log in, start typing your blog posts, and they go live.
Okay, and you're talking about building a website.
Essentially, that's all it is. It's just a website that's very easy to maintain.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, great. Yeah, thanks for your call. I know you can only stay for a little bit, maybe 15, 20 minutes, because you got an appointment
right.
in about a half hour, am I right?
That's right. Yeah.
But you will stay over the break here, and
yep.
There is a little bit of an opportunity if you want to call and find out from a real live professional blogger how he does it and how you might get into it. Plan on giving us a call. 479-1080 or shooting us an email, mz@ksco.com. Our special guest today is Yaro Starek, who is a professional blogger from Brisbane. Did I get it right?
Pretty good.
Am I learning?
You think you are.
Yeah. Okay, so you're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, Silicon Valley, and the world on KSCO.com. So we will be back right after Fox News Channel Fox News right here now.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Quimby. They've agreed on a sentence for the first member of Al-Qaeda convicted of war crimes. Live now to Washington and Fox News Radio's Chris Barnes.
Chris, he could have faced life.
68 degrees the temperature at KSCO at 5.5 minutes past 1 o'clock this Tuesday afternoon, the 7th of August. As we continue with the Noon Balloon, hour number two now with MZ here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
Yeah, hey Don, am I supposed to play the Noon Balloon theme again at the top because it's the top of the hour?
You could, or I could play it.
Oh, okay, I'll play it because I can. All I have to do.
Why don't we both play it?
Okay, here, ready? 1, 2, 3, go.
Perhaps not a very good idea.
I sort of like it. Makes people, you know, they might think they, you know, they're on some dope or something, or some acid, or some PCP, or some mushrooms. Okay, well, we're going into hour number two of the Noon Balloon. I just had the most delicious grapes. There's always some stuff that people bring in, you know, guests and, you know, visitors to the radio station and in the lobby. And I always help myself. One of these days, I'm, you know, would somebody who doesn't like the radio station leave some poisonous food? Is that a possibility? No, not at all. So I think we're always safe eating some. Anyhow, these were the best grapes I ever tasted because they were on the tart side and the sweet side. All right, let's bring our guest back on here. I'm not here very often, gang, so I don't remember how to. I'm a little slow on the trigger. Okay, here's our guest. Yarrow! You there, Yarrow?
I am, but don't get out.
Okay, here's Martha. In Santa Cruz.
Hey, hi, how are you? You know what, Michael? I'm driving up 101 past Reading towards the city. So I've lost the signal, and I was fascinated. I mean, I would love to have just pulled over and sat there and listened to your show. But I've got to get to this appointment because I don't make my living on the internet, and I just it's just great. Thank you so much for this program. Are you going to put any of it on a you know, a podcast on your website?
Wow. You know, we need to figure out how to do that and make it so that we can afford to do that, you know, not without having to hire, you know, extra people. Do you know how to do that? I'll bet our guest knows how to do that. He sounds like a pretty smart, you know, creative.
I bet he does. Michael Olson does it for his show. He's got a lot.
And I do it for my show. I do it for the Saturday special. You know, the ego thing, the ego factor comes into play here. But this is the show that I'm hosting, so there is an ego factor here, isn't there?
There you go.
What do you think, Yarrow?
I think it's a good idea, and, you know, it's pretty important to have another way of listening. So
right.
I know. I'm missing the rest of this program. This is terrible.
You know what we could do?
I want to listen to this program, and
yeah,
I want
you too.
So thank you for the program, and at least for what I got, and I'm going to be looking for it on your website.
Okay. All right, we'll figure out something. If nothing else, Yarrow put it on his, you know, because we can make a digital copy available to him pretty easily, I think. So.
Oh, Yarrow, that'd be awesome. Thank you.
Cool. Notice how I volunteer you.
Would you do that, Yarrow?
Hey, if they give me the file, I could do it. So.
Yeah.
All right. You're awesome. All right,
Martha.
Thank you. Thank you for being so generous.
Generous? Well, thank you. It's called good content. There goes Martha in a car somewhere on 101. So during the break, incredulously, I walked out and was flailing my hands and saying, where the hell are the callers? You know, this is an exciting program, isn't it? And Rosie said to me, all due respect, boss. What did you say, Rosie? She's not even listening now. So, cause there don't, she said to me, all due respect, but you're geeky and this is a geeky subject. You like this and other geeky people like, and we did get three new callers that we've never heard from before. And that's good. You know, so, and here's another one, but it just blows me away. To me, never mind. All right, here's a geeky Carl who's in Aptos here. Oh, geeky Carl, welcome to the
Noon Balloon. I'm enjoying this very much. Thank you. WordPress, is that, you use WordPress?
That's right, I do.
It definitely looks WordPressy.
I went to blogger.com to build one just because the price thing, and hopefully eventually Google will maybe lean towards it and rate it up a little higher. But what are some positive things that you see on it seems to be more quality on that particular one, doesn't it?
You mean WordPress over Blogger?
Blogger.
I mean, Blogger is a nice place to get yourself familiar with what it is to write a blog. The problem with it is it's just a little bit limited in terms of the tools you've got. Mm. And often Blogger itself won't let you, make money from it in all the ways you could be doing so. For me, and this is really important, WordPress has got a lot of what are called plugins and a lot of free themes. So right out of the box, you can have a fairly unique and, you know, very pretty looking blog design without having to pay any extra money for it.
So
now if you just do a search for WordPress themes, you will find thousands of them. And then the same thing for those plugins, which will just give you extra functions. So, you know, if you want to have, extra cool things with comments, this is very geeky now, you can get plugins to do, you know, those sort of extra functions. So it's become the de facto standard for anyone who's really serious about, you know, making money from it. But if you're not making money from it, you just want to experiment, Blogger is a great place. And WordPress is a free service, too, very similar, called WordPress.com instead of WordPress.org, which is where you download their software.
Okay.
All right, Geeky Carl. Thanks for your call to the Noon Balloon here. I have half a mind to withdraw the caller invitation privileges of anybody except geeks today. Geeks only for the rest of the time this hour. Now, Yarrow can be with us for another 10 or 15 minutes or so, and then he has a very important appointment that he cannot break even for us, and we understand that. Here's Geeky Johnny in Boulder Creek. All right, Geeky Johnny, welcome to the Noon Balloon with Yarrow and MZ.
Hey, thanks. It's a nice topic and a good break from all the political garbage. However, I am working on a political blog, and
that's okay.
I'm wondering about places to auction it. Is eBay the best? And do I actually need to have the blog established, or can I just perhaps just try to auction the domain name that I own?
I'm assuming you're looking to sell it. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you have some traffic going to it, and even better, if it's making a little money, you know, you will get a much better price for it. But I don't know what stage you're at with that blog. Regardless of that, usually the best place to go to sell blogs at the moment is a site called SitePoint. So it's SiteCoint.com. It's sort of a tech community. If you go to the marketplace there, it's a forum, basically. And there's a section there specifically for buying and selling websites, and you'll find a lot of blogs are bought and sold at that site.
Great.
Great. Hey, that's wonderful. Okay, Geeky Johnny, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
to the Noon Balloon here. There is somebody else here, but I'm not sure who it is. I want to, we have to screen our calls here, you know. We do have that kind of an audio condom, if not the delay. So are you going to be on the West Coast, Yaro?
You know, I've already come through Vancouver and then that side of things. I'm actually heading off to Europe next.
Are you going to do a circle around the globe?
I am. That is the plan, yes.
So great.
I haven't done Europe since I was 3 years old, so it will be interesting.
Wow. When are you going to be back home?
Probably by the end of the year. So it's almost a full year journey.
Right.
The wonderful thing about traveling with a laptop, that's how you can run your business. So.
Are you traveling with anybody else?
I have a friend who's traveling with me at the moment, and I have obviously all my family, most of my family are in Canada.
Uh-huh.
Basically, it's us with our laptops, and we're sitting in cafes or in our hotels, and she runs a blog as well. So it's a good way to travel. You can make money while you're doing it,
you know, it's not all fun and games. You do have to spend some time working, like I've spent most of July.
Yeah, but isn't the fun and games, isn't the work fun and games, too?
It really is, you know? I mean,
that's what's so cool about it, about doing what you're passionate about and what you just love to spend your time doing and getting paid for it. Even if it's not very much, and it's great. I mean, you know, I'm totally into entrepreneuring and, you know, being the master of your own destiny. And
you have a radio station, so.
Well, even before that, because I went to work you probably don't remember. Yeah, I'm sure you wouldn't. The interconnect business. It was when it first became legal to connect other than the phone company's equipment to telephone lines. And this was back in the, 1969 or so. And I went to work, at a corporate, you know, company in New York City, and I just hated it. You know, they put me to work being a file clerk.
Yeah.
When I knew so I could help them, you know, so I went to the boss and said, hey, you're wasting me. You're wasting my talents. And the boss fired me. She said, okay, I'm wasting your talent. Here, take a hike. See you around. And I decided, you know, that I'm just an unemployable person. Are you an unemployable person? And that's what made you an entrepreneur?
I don't think I get myself fired, which is probably a bad thing, because I think it's probably a good thing that you got fired, because it forced you to do something else. But I'm certainly miserable when I'm forced to be somewhere at 9 a.m. I usually sleep till 10 a.m. at the moment, so I'm probably even getting up to the job if I started now.
Okay, now let me bounce something off you. Wirelessacpower.com.
I have to go visit this site.
Wireless AC Power. I don't think there's a site there yet, but there might be. There might be some. I haven't even tried it.
Wirelessacpower.com.
Yeah. So, wirelessacpower.com. What do you think that is? What do you think that would be?
My guess, it's some way to transfer electricity over wireless connections.
Yeah. Yeah. Or solar energy. Isn't that wireless AC power?
Well, I guess the sun, that's pretty wireless.
It's a pretty wireless thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so years and years ago, when we first did this program called RadioNet, which was talk radio all about the Internet, this was in 1994, okay? I mean, we're way ahead of anybody else, right? Here at this station, you know, and guys who are billionaires now know about this station because we used to interview them, you know? Instead of being part of it, we used to interview these people who changed the world, right?
Right.
But during one of those programs, they did a program all about people who thought of easy names like buy.com and registered it and became millionaires by selling it to big companies that want an easy to remember, you know, URL. And so, you know, I always wanted to do something like that, but was never clever enough to do that. But I was thinking, when I became excited about solar energy, gee, what is solar energy? I mean, solar energy is essentially wireless power. But wireless power was taken already. But what about wireless AC power?
Your domain name, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my domain. Yeah, I thought about it. It woke me up in the middle of the night about a week ago, and I said, you know, I first thought about this years ago, and I didn't think about it until in the middle of the night when it woke me up. I said, but let me go try wireless AC power, and dang if it's not available. Well, it's not now because I have it, you know. But what do you think? I mean, do you think I could make some money to retire so I don't have to do this horrible radio job much longer?
Well, your intentions are to write about solar energy on a blog or a website?
Hell no. Who wants to do that? I'd rather make a bunch of money for doing nothing.
Yeah, I thought so.
By just selling it.
So maybe you should outline your... Oh, you just want to sell the domain name?
Sure, why not? Maybe it's not as good as I think it is.
There's some services out there that'll do you an evaluation, and I don't know how accurate they are, but, you know...
They would probably charge me $1,000 to tell me that the domain name is worth $50. $50, not $50,000. You know, that's the story of my life, you know.
buy high, sell low.
Yeah, I'm more inclined to put something there and then make it valuable and then sell it. That usually guarantees a result.
Right, right.
But that's work involved, so you know what that's like.
All right. Well, we're in the home stretch of Peter, I almost called you Peter Yarrow, of Yarrow Starek being our guest on the Noon Balloon. So speak now or forever hold your peace. Well, you don't, I guess you can always email him or, you know, get in touch with him through his own website or blog. But if you want to talk to him, you know, this is the last chance at 479-1080. Here, let's do the, let's do a little break here before we say goodbye to you here, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, you're listening to the Noon Balloon on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station, emanating from Corcoran Lagoon on the Pacific Ocean, Santa Cruz, California, the liberal capital of the world. I made this promo for the Saturday special. It's hot off the press.
The times, they are a-changin' indeed. And your favorite radio station is taking steps to bring us all up to speed in this new, total technology-based world. Reminds me about one of my dad's stories about one of his hippie patients who used to say, "Man, don't you know where it's at?" Dad would say, "No, man, tell me where it's at." And the hippie patient would say, "Well, like, man, if you don't know where it's at, I mean, like, I can't tell you." Well, we've got someone who knows where it's at. Charlie Bass of the Las Vegas Internet Chamber of Commerce, our guest on the next KSCO special, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on If We Don't Take Care of You, Who Will Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
Hi, Dale here from Jungle Plant. I thought it was time for you all to hear about the great interior plant service we provide.
Hi, my name is Kian, and I'm here to tell you about the great service that Dale of Jungle Plant provides. Dale installed several beautiful plants in my living room, bathrooms, bedrooms, even a few potted plants on the deck. So if you have black thumbs like me but still want plants in your home, I highly recommend you giving Dale a call.
Visit us at jungleplant.com for all your interior plant needs.
You ever feel like your computer's on to get you? Getting tired of weird tech support?
Hello, you have 30 seconds to fix your computer problem. Go!
My computer has a virus.
Okay, can you please remove the motherboard?
Motherboard? What are you talking about? Am I calling America?
I know about American. How about Dale Earnhardt Jr.? He is a good football player, no?
Hi, I'm Peter from User Friendly Computing. If you're in business, you know the importance of quality tech support and people who can communicate effectively. At User Friendly Computing, we provide quality on-site service for all your PC, Macintosh, networking, and server needs. Keep your business systems running smoothly with our affordable monthly maintenance plans. Give us a call at 688-1288 or visit us on the web at friendlycomputing.com. We pride ourselves on delivering prompt, courteous service. We show up on time, and we do what we say we're going to do. We've been part of the local community for over 15 years, so you know we'll be here when you need us. If your computer isn't user-friendly, call User Friendly Computing at 688-1288, where we're small enough to know you, big enough to serve you.
Back when I was a child.
Save the males? Who cares?
Children do, boys do, fathers do, daughters do, mothers do too.
The Divorced Fathers Network radio program.
Because children need fathers like fish need
bicycles.
We all need fathers. Listen in.
Chime in.
With Steve Ashley and Rocky Snyder.
Every Friday at 2 p.m. on AM 1080 KSCO.
They would carry me. They got the papers and the trash.
Kind of a classless host invites somebody to be on and in the closing minutes of when he can be here uses up all that time with commercials. Oh, well. Hey, Yarrow.
Hello.
Been fun.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Gotta have you on again sometime if you're into it.
Love to.
Continued success to you. Let's stay in touch, okay? And it's nice to know a professional blogger that's going places.
Thank Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks. Have a great rest of your trip around the world, and I guess you can stay in constant comment. Hey, by the way, real quick here, Magic Jack. Do you know about Magic Jack?
No.
Okay, Magic Jack is a little plug-in, you know, to the USB thing. It's about the size of a matchbook. You plug it in into your USB port of any computer, and then you plug in a telephone. And presto, change-o, it turns your computer into a free local and long distance in Canada and U.S. Phone thing that you pay, you know, like $39.95 a year instead of a month for.
Very good.
And you can take it with you. And you plug it down. I guess you probably use Skype. In fact, you're calling us on Skype out now, right?
Not this time, no, but I usually do, yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, you're, because I was going to say that the call quality is extraordinary today.
I managed to pick up a headset. So.
I gotcha. What kind is it? I'll get one. It sounds really good.
Just a normal phone. Panasonic, nothing special.
Panasonic phone, but the headset.
No, a handset, like
handset.
Landline.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That's wild. Okay. Well, look. Have a wonderful whatever you're going to next. Okay. We don't want to keep you. Appreciate it. That was Peter Yarrow Starek. I've got Peter Yarrow on the mind. Okay,
you do.
But that's good.
You can play a bit of Peter Paul and Mary now.
You know, can you get that up, Don, real quick? Peter Paul and Mary thing. No, we won't keep you, but I've got him working on it, you know.
Sure.
And if I was more adept and was logged into the right place, I could bring it up on demand, too, or had my iPod with me, which I don't. I have my iPhone. Anyhow, thanks, Yarrow. You have a good one, okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, there he goes. Now we have 33 and a half minutes to fill up. Yep, 33 and a half minutes to fill up. Well, we could always go back to politics. You know what I think we can do? I think we can and should and better play the commercials.
Proceeding, talk some. Tell me what's your game, talk some. Girl, I don't even know your name, honey. I'm here to listen with a coffee.
One ringy dingy, two ringy dingies, one caller, two callers. I want to fill up the board.
Y'all ready for this?
As Don Quixote told Sancho Panza, forewarned is forearmed. To be prepared is half the battle. Be prepared for the SAT by attending University Test Prep's power-packed SAT boot camp. Pretest is Saturday, August 9th, followed by instruction Monday to Friday. In a few short sessions, you'll learn how to overcome the tricks, traps, and biases of the SAT. Don't procrastinate. Call Richard Schmidt today and reserve your place in University Test Prep's SAT boot camp. 335-7600 or universitytestprep.com. Beat. Prepared.
All right, on three. One, two, three. Oh, I'm not going to miss anything about this fridge. It's got no room, and the new one's got those French doors. Oh.
I cannot wait to get an ice maker.
It's time to show your old refrigerator the door. Get 10% off appliances of $3.99 or more at the Home Depot. Pick from brands like GE, Maytag, and LG, including Energy Star appliances that save money on your energy bill. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Through August 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
There are so many imitators, but there's only one event featuring the 35th Rolex Monterey Historic Automobile Races presented by Toyota. Be sure to visit Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca August 15th through the 17th and enjoy a feast of vintage and classic cars at the Monterey Peninsula's premier historic automobile event. Meet Grand Prix racing legend Mario Andretti as he celebrates the 30th anniversary of his Formula One World Championship victory. Then enjoy the action on the track as Grand Prix stars from the 1980s and 90s battle it out for the Toyota Race of Legends title. This is one event for car enthusiasts young and old cannot miss. The 35th annual Rolex Monterey Historic Automobile Races presented by Toyota at the world-famous Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca, August 15th through the 17th. For more information, visit laguna-seca.com or call 1-800-327-SECA to buy your tickets today.
Are you calling to promo your show tomorrow?
No, I could, though.
Yeah,
I
why don't you? Are you going to do something about the planning department here? I understand they're, you know, some of their, the roosters are coming home.
Well, check tonight. My callers complain that I don't give them a heads up, but no one does on the noon balloon because we want to see who they are.
What's the, how come everybody's, how come I keep hearing this and this and this? Now, I did that, but I didn't do the other two. Are you doing them?
No. That is one of the things that sometimes I've had people tell me comes up on the Magic Jack, because that's what I'm calling with. And Rosie had me come on to correct you. It's only $19.95 a year for service. The initial price includes the Jack and 1 year's service.
Yeah, but the $20 is for the, so I got ripped off?
No, I'm telling you.
Because I paid $39.95, bought three of them.
Yeah, no, you did not get ripped off, but you keep telling people it's $39.95 as opposed for the whole service. That's once you get the Jack, the service is only $20 a year.
Right.
So now that you once you have your Jack,
it's yeah, that's true. The first thing, because you got to buy the device for $20, and then it's another $20 thereabouts, you know, for the year's worth of unlimited domestic USA and Canada long distance.
And it also comes with 911 for the area you're in, so that's why you need to tell them your area code.
You got to tell them because it's not that intelligent, and you have to be used if you're dialing your next door neighbor, calling the radio station here. And you order up an 831 phone number, which you probably have.
Yes.
Right on your Magic Jack.
Yes.
You isn't it sort of hard to get used to dialing? You have to dial the area code even if you're dialing a local number. I don't like that.
Yeah, but you get around that from the interface and set up your contact list, you know, just like a phone book.
You can?
It's actually quite a clever little thing, and despite all its minor little glitches, it's
right.
No more annoying than cell phones.
And oh, it's less annoying than cell phones, I think. If you have a good broadband connection, which I don't in the Bay Area, it drops out. But when I use it home, when I use it here, you know, and I'm spending like 90% of my time here now, so it's good. I mean, I think I can use it.
And the reason I called in is because you kept telling people it's, you know, $39.95 for a year versus Vantage or Voyage or whatever they are, and I was just
But that's per month. Vonage is per month. Magic Jack. I predict that Magic Jack is unless the guy really screws up, and he might screw up because his customer service absolutely stinks. I mean, there's no way to talk to a real person. You can have an online chat with somebody who keeps saying, "Unfortunately, sir, I'm sorry," and that's all they know how to say. They don't know how to say anything else except, "Unfortunately, sir, I'm sorry."
You know, that's a whole show, MZ, is this perception of service that no longer exists.
It's not a perception. I mean, there is no service that exists anywhere.
No, I'm saying it's a perception in the fact that if you're on the Internet and stuff, people try and give you a perception that you can get served by, you know, contact us, this and that, but when you get in the loops, you can't find anyone.
Yeah. Yeah,
so.
Forget it. I mean, yeah, that's true, with very few exceptions. Yeah, and so this guy named Dan Borislow, I've been trying to get hold of him because I want to get him on the Saturday special. Did you hear the program that we had last week with Dave Graveline from Into Tomorrow?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he's interviewed Dan quite a number of times over the years because, I mean, that's his field. I mean, you know, I just can't get in touch with this guy because he hides. I mean, I don't blame him for hiding because he's got a really hot product here, and you know, it could take up the rest of his life 24/7. You know, if he answered it, but of course, you know, I mean, if we can get through to him, I want to talk to him on the radio because I would like to replace all of our phone lines here at KSCO with Magic Jacks because we do have a nice T1 here that's pretty and a nice backup system for what do you call it, redundancy. So. If we did that, and if Magic Jack would install this one feature that it doesn't have yet, you know what that feature is, Vernon?
Tell me.
I'll bet you could figure it out, because you're a techie sort of guy.
Well, I have to have my mind in that gear.
Busy call forwarding. Because, see, if we could imagine replacing all of our on, I'd save like $1,000, $1,200 a month for the radio station. You know?
Well, I've been using mine since February 7th. I saw the ads on TV. I went searching on the internet to see what people had to say, and there were a lot more praises than the few complaints.
Yes.
And I thought, well, for $40, it's worth a try, and
exactly.
I more paid for it.
Oh, board technology paid for it?
No, I'm saying I have more than paid for it in the calls I've made.
Oh, I see. Okay.
In other words, I've used it, and the calls I've made have far exceeded what it cost me, so I'm on free time right now in less than 6 months.
Isn't that amazing? Yes, it does make sense. It makes perfect sense. Would you like to talk to Bill in Monterey?
Sure.
Hi, Bill in Monterey.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi.
My buddy's got a Hewlett-Packard outlet, not in the state, but he told me next time I get a computer to buy a commercial machine, and then whenever you have any problems, you talk to somebody in the United States. So he says that's how you get the service. You buy the commercial machine. He says it's only a couple extra $100 compared to a regular machine.
Oh.
And then that makes the difference, he says now.
That's a nice trick.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I'll take his word for it. Most of them still port stuff offshore. But what I've also found being in the business, Bill,
yeah.
is that I've gotten very good tech support from overseas, and I sometimes suspect that some of the problems people have with overseas tech support is that they don't understand the computer well enough to ask the questions.
Yeah, that could be true, yeah. Because I haven't gotten bad support overseas either, to be honest with you. But like you said, sometimes if you get somebody with a heavy, I don't know, what do I want to say, a brogue or accent, he says that to buy the commercial machines, and that's how you can get somebody in the United States. He says, and the service is much better because you're going commercial.
Well, I'll call those people, and I ask them, where are you from, Louisiana? or wherever. It doesn't matter. I have fun with it because you have to have fun in this technological age because it will drive you nuts if you can't approach it with a sense of humor.
Yeah, you're right. You got to keep your humor. I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye, moderator.
Bye-bye, Bill.
So anyhow, Vernon, are you as shocked and horrified as I am that we didn't get way more phone calls for the last hour or that last hour and a half? I mean, that's fascinating.
Well, except
am I out of touch? All people want to do is talk about politics, and I'm good and you're bad. I'm conservative.
Well, I don't know.
Jeez.
I think where you miss the boat sometimes, MZ, is sometimes people are just interested in the subject matter. And you need to listen to the El Rushbo,
yeah.
who says the difference between the professionals like me and the small guys is the small guys have their attention on the phone lines.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And you're a professional guy, much more professional than I am in that regard, because you don't give a damn whether there's callers or not.
Yeah,
just like Rush. Just like Cyril. Cyril doesn't like callers. You know? Callers are a bother to Cyril. You know? But you're easy both ways. And me, you know, we talked about this before. To me, if we're not getting callers, and I don't want the regular callers, nothing personal. I'm sick and tired of the same old callers saying the same predictable things. I want new callers. And the reason we don't get new callers is because when the fish stinks, it stinks from the head, okay? And if we're not getting new callers on my show or on a show that I'm hosting or guest hosting or whatever, it's nobody's fault but mine, and I'm the first to admit that and accept that.
But, you know, I've been sitting in the Friday seat for a long time, and I'm regularly hearing new callers all the time.
I love it.
And all the shows, so I think you have a, you know, I hear, and you used to complain about no women. We got women callers, and I'm always listening, and depending on the subject matter, people will pop up that don't call other things. I've brought up religion from time to time.
Let's just take a call. Let's take a call. Huh? Just let's take a call unscreened. Who is this?
Who am I talking to?
This is MZ, and you're on the air. Who's this?
Who is it?
MZ, the boss, the owner, the guy who's on the air. Who's this?
I'm Chris Hooper.
Oh, hi, Chris.
Who are you?
Chris, did you call the radio station to go on the air?
No, I didn't.
Oh, why are you on the phone then?
It's 479-5908. Is that your number?
Yeah, that is my number.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got the wrong number.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Chris Hooper.
Thank you.
Okay. Well,
well, it sounded like she had the right number, but wrong person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is one of our secret numbers.
Now, everybody, you just blew it.
No, I didn't. I like to have fun with people. It is one of our secret numbers, but it's also a number that's published. It's one and the same.
Oh, okay. You know, no, listen, what you, as far as I'm concerned, in this business, I'm going to tell it to the whole world out there, MC, is if you're on the air for 2 hours and everybody's gone, they can't hear you listening. Right. They can't hear you complaining about calls, right?
Yeah.
If someone's been on listening to you for 1 hour and 55 minutes, you still have them, right?
Rosie said everybody's on vacation now.
That's okay.
And that she says, it's been terrible for colds all week. So that made me feel a little better. At least it's not me. It's not my breath or something, right?
No, you're there. You're there to entertain and inform, you know,
yeah.
And just like a stand-up comic. You go, showtime hits, and if you're behind the mic, then you can't stand the silence. Get out of the studio.
Okay, let's find out what Joe and Salinas wants. Hi, Joe and Salinas. What do you want?
I want a program on Mr. Swirling.
On me? No one's ever wanted to interview me.
It's not about you.
Oh.
I'm very interested in learning about your father.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
For two reasons.
Yeah.
One, I was very grateful for your mother's commentary. And I don't have it exactly in front of me, but it's basically like God works everything out for good. I wrote that down, and whenever I'm canvassing, I have it in front of me.
Oh.
So,
and I believe that, too.
Well, it's very profound. That's why I wrote it down.
Yeah.
And it's very soothing, especially as I walk all over, passing out my little flyers, wondering about my life sometimes.
You pass out flyers about your life? I don't get it.
No. I pass out flyers.
About what?
For window sales.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
And sometimes when you're walking streets, you wonder, is this what all my life is supposed to be about?
Uh-huh.
And then when your mother's comment was that God works all things out for good, you say, well, maybe God has a plan for my life.
Yeah.
So, but in addition, this morning you mentioned that your father was talking about that hippie.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, something about, hey, get with it or something like that.
I thought that was so funny at the dinner table. He told that story once, and I just, my mom and I and everybody else who was there just totally cracked up because it's so dad and it's so Santa Cruz and it's so his patience, you know. He used to be so entertained by the hippies. All the other, you know, optometrists, you know, wouldn't even serve them. They were sort of repulsed, but Dad was amused and entertained. You know,
your father was a ophthalmologist.
Optometrist, yeah.
Optometrist, yeah. Uh-huh. I have wondered for many years what your father was like, his political beliefs, where he was from, all that.
Yeah.
You think you can have a program on that?
Sure. Sure, why not? Yeah.
And please announce it so that we all get a heads up.
He had the best thing, the easiest thing that I remember about my dad is that he had an incredible sense of humor. It was you know, probably not as whacked and off the wall as mine, but really, really funny, you know. I mean, he found humor in everything, you know. You didn't hear any of the Saturday joke specials that Dad and I did with John Muth? There were four of them.
Well, that was before I started listening. I came back to the area in 94.
Okay, well, we've done reruns over the years quite a number of times, actually, and people ask for that, so I'm sure we'll do it again. What we could do is that's what we could do. We could put that up on the site so people could download it any time.
Well, was your father, can you tell me briefly, was your father more conservative than your mother?
I hate labels, but they thought pretty much alike politically. You know, and I grew up in a liberal household, and as time went on, it grew a little more conservative. Okay, and that's what happened to me too. My politics went from moderately liberal to pretty conservative, fairly conservative, as a result of trying to get a permit to build a house on a lot in the city of Santa Cruz.
Oh, that program that you had, when was it, on 4th of July or whenever, about the station?
Yeah.
That first hour, I think it was, I happened to tune it on when I was walking around, and I really enjoyed that to understand, you know, about the beginnings of the program when you first acquired it, the station.
Ah. Yeah. It's funny. I don't remember that, but you're saying we did this last July 4th?
It was around then.
Right.
It was around then.
Okay.
So I happened to tune it on, and I enjoyed that first hour because it filled in a lot of gaps, and it would, people know what happened.
Do you think more than you would like such a program? I mean, we could always replay, you know, one of the joke specials. There was a lot more to my dad than humor, though. Obviously, he was a pretty deep thinker, and you know, and all his patients loved him. You know, he did all his own lens grinding and all his own receptioning and all his own phone answering and everything. It was just amazing.
I guess for me, I'm wondering about the political mindset of your father, and maybe the switch from a moderate liberal or whatever to more conservative.
We were in the NAACP. You know, my family was all members of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And members, well, sympathizers, if not active members of the ACLU. And yeah, I mean, I would say there was quite a change over the years when we saw how, you know, being liberal didn't really make a whole lot of sense as time went on. Hey, John,
well,
thanks for your call.
Because of the change in what being a liberal meant.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like you're at a playground yard or something. There's an awful
I'm in the McDonald's, and some little kids are looking at the toys.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, listen, thanks for your call, and we'll work on that. If we get some other requests, then I could just have a private conversation with you sometime, unless others want to hear, you know, a program like you suggested. Okay.
Well, I think there would be a lot of people who would have an interest in that. The evolution of this whirling family from one political point of view to what they are now.
Well, okay. All right. Well, we'll take a look. All right. Hey, thank you very much for your call to the Noon Balloon. And there goes Joe in Salinas. And, yeah, I want to play.
I thought that was for the National Advancement of Cool People.
No. Yeah. I thought it was funny when Rush said National Association for the Advancement of You People.
Hey, here's one that my audience can mull over for tomorrow, and you can run with this one if you want. How in the heck do you save the planet? What does that mean?
I don't know. Let's figure that out. Now we got a very special caller on the line. But
yes.
I want to play the promo for the Saturday special first so he can hear it, and then we'll put him on. And so stay with us here. You're listening to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO.
Well, the times, they are the same.
The times, they are a changing indeed. And your favorite radio station is taking steps to bring us all up to speed in this new, total technology-based world. Reminds me about one of my dad's stories about one of his hippie patients who used to say, "Man, don't you know where it's at?" Dad would say, "No, man, tell me where it's at." And the hippie patient would say, "Well, like, man, if you don't know where it's at, I mean, like, I can't tell you." Well, we've got someone who knows where it's at. Charlie Bass of the Las Vegas Internet Chamber of Commerce, our guest on the next KSCO special, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on If We Don't Take Care of You, Who Will Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
But hopefully you'll be on 2 with us, Tom Honig, on Saturday, will you?
Yeah, hello?
Hi, yeah, you'll be on with us, too, on Saturday, won't you?
I will.
Good! All right, this is the Tom Honig in person. Now,
yeah.
We did a Saturday special with Tom, I don't know, a year ago, 8 months ago, 9 months ago, and we talked about, you know, changing media and so forth, and I saw Tom a week ago at the Wharf to Wharf annual, you know, award ceremony that we were both attending, and a wonderful event, it always is every year. And I mentioned to Tom, I really like the look of the Sentinel website, and it's becoming sort of a multimedia website. And he said, yeah, but I'm with someone else now. I said, how did that get past me? It's been like 6 months. So the editor of the Santa Cruz Sentinel, who has had quite the responsibility on his shoulders for many, many years, is now in a different branch of media. And we've got a lot to talk about, huh?
I suppose so. I suppose I do. You know, after all these years doing one thing, then you start in a new line of work, and you realize you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, but it's sort of related. It's media related, yeah. And PR, right?
And PR.
Yeah.
And I've spent 35 years watching people make horrible mistakes in putting their public image out. So it's kind of fun to be on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And be able to say, don't say that, for God's sake, whatever you do.
Right, and it's totally the opposite from what you used to do, because you used to at least, you know, be the boss of everybody who wants to try to drag everything that can possibly be said out of somebody, right?
Well, yeah, but you know, I think the my role, I guess, looking back at my years at the Sentinel. Are you there still,
yeah,
Mike?
No, I'm here. Vernon dropped off. I don't know
why
he disconnected, but he did. But yeah, go ahead. Your years at the Sentinel.
I think the one thing that I had to offer the community was that I'd been around here so long, much like you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you kind of know the way the town works. And the, one of the horrors of daily journalism is you have, these situations come at you, and if you don't know people and don't know the town, you're in a bit of trouble.
Exactly.
But all those years, what I was devoted to was trying to tell people stories accurately and completely, and make so that the things that were said about them in the paper, they could recognize themselves. And, you know, I mean, that old journalism without fear or favor, I still believe in that. And
right.
that's, I just do it in a different way now.
Now, weren't you responsible for writing the editorial every day too? I mean,
every single day. I did it. Well, the first couple of years we had an editorial page editor, but starting in about 1994, for the next 14 years, I wrote 5 a week.
Oh man.
Yeah,
that's like how many thousand? Geez,
yeah,
over the years,
true.
Did you ever figure that out?
Yeah, well, and every once in a while, when I'd have a clunker, you know, it would end up as the subject of a conversation on KSTO.
Oh right. yeah. My mother wonders if you are speaking to her, because she didn't like something that happened with the Sentinel. What was it? Nothing about the gay pride parade, big front news story, and hardly any mention of the Not This Time vets or something. I don't know what
yeah,
it was. But,
yeah. Well, you know what? H.L. Mencken is reputedly, he supposedly had a lot of postcards on his desk when he was editor of the Baltimore Sun, and he would write to people and he'd say, I'm sorry, you're probably right.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, you gotta call it as you see it. And have you ever gone back on something and say, you know, hey, you're not probably right. You are right. I was wrong.
Oh, absolutely. I can remember a few of them. You know, you get it a little bit wrong, or you get it hasty. Remember, even, you know, radio maybe is the most instantaneous medium, but newspapers are kind of the rough draft to history. And the very essence of a rough draft is you're not going to get everything right.
Yeah.
You have to get information out pretty quickly, and, you know, you can correct it later.
Well, I've said it before, you know, if I have to be in an old media business, thank God it's radio old media, because the others are just the changes are just too dramatic. Not that there haven't been dramatic changes in the radio industry, particularly the Communications Act of 1996, which totally destroyed the radio industry in the United States of America, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
Totally
well,
destroyed.
And you know what? And that's actually an example. I remember writing an editorial about saying, you know, good job, Congress. This is good legislation. And it wasn't long after that I realized there was so much I didn't know about it, and the impact of it has been a disaster.
Yeah.
That's one of many where, you know, I was wrong. My favorite one was when I wrote an editorial and then was taken on by the Wall Street Journal, which owned our paper, and they made fun of an editorial I had written.
So I don't understand. What did they do? In the journal itself, they talked about the Santa Cruz Sentinel editorial?
Yeah, they took a point that we made, and they kind of took off after that. I don't think they're at it. You know, there were some people who accused the Sentinel of being in cahoots with the Journal. I don't even think the editorial writers there knew that they owned our paper.
Uh-huh. Isn't that funny?
Of course, you know, I don't want to know today.
We're losing. It's not. Are you there, Tom? Oh, my God. I think we've lost Tom Honig on his cell phone. Did we finish all the commercials? Okay, well, let's finish the commercials, okay? Did we do Fresh Choice? I think we did.
Taste, quality, and value. That's Fresh Choice Restaurant. Hi, I'm John of Fresh Choice. We offer a large buffet of pasta, pizza, soups, desserts, and the best salad bar around at a price that's really easy on the wallet. With so many options, Fresh Choice is a great place to eat. Fresh Choice changes the menu monthly, so stop in and try something new. We're serving lunch and dinner daily. Find Fresh Choice at Capitola at the Brown Ranch Marketplace. It's on Claire's, right across from the Capitola Mall. What will you eat today? Make it Fresh Choice Restaurant.
There are so many imitators, but there's only one event featuring the 35th Rolex Monterey Historic Automobile Races presented by Toyota. Be sure to visit Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca August 15th through the 17th and enjoy a feast of vintage and classic cars at the Monterey Peninsula's premier historic automobile event. Meet Grand Prix racing legend Mario Andretti as he celebrates the 30th anniversary of his Formula One World Championship victory. Then enjoy the action on the track as Grand Prix stars from the 1980s and 90s battle it out for the Toyota Race of Legends title. This is one event for car enthusiasts young and old cannot miss. The 35th annual Rolex Monterey Historic Automobile Races presented by Toyota at the world-famous Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca, August 15th through the 17th. For more information, visit laguna-seca.com or call 1-800-327-SECA to buy your tickets today.
Okay, we're back, I think, with Tom Honig. Are you back here, Tom?
I'm back. Can you hear me all right now?
Yeah, those damn cell phones.
Yeah.
You're going just great and everything's fine, and then all of them...
Oh, well, that's life.
So anyhow, what's a day in your life like these days? It's very different. I noticed before you told me that you weren't with the Sentinel, I don't know how I missed that, because it's been like more than 6 months since that's been the case. But you were bright eyed and life and fun. And the last time I saw you, you were sort of depressed and, and not the happiest guy in the world, although, you know, very articulate as you've always been, but not happy. And you must be.
Well, we need to probably do a whole hour on what has happened to newspapers. And, as a media platform, newspapers are absolutely wonderful. And, to watch what's happening to an entire industry going down is horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll certainly get into that. We'll probably do the whole thing on Saturday with the gentleman from the Las Vegas Internet Chamber of Commerce, who knows all about the media.
That's a fascinating thing, because I know everything is going onto the internet, but there are going to be limits to it. There's going to be, don't you think? There are going to be limits to what it can do. It's not going to replace old media, I don't think.
Well, I don't think anything will replace radio.
No, absolutely.
No, but I'll tell you, when Wi-Fi, when moving, you know, when getting, how do I say it? When you can get a streaming radio signal, you know, without it dropping out, it's almost like cell phone isn't like it's theoretically supposed to be.
Right.
Then that's going to change everything, even us maybe. But we're still going to, companies that serve their communities are always going to flourish, I think. Tom Honig, thanks for calling in today. We'll see you on the air, on the radio on Saturday, a couple days
Saturday
from now.
Saturday morning.
On the phone. So have a great day, and we
Thank
will
you, Michael.
Talk to you all later. This has been the News Balloon on Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, KSCO Santa Cruz, and here's Fox
News. Report with Shepard Smith.
The first war crimes trial at Guantanamo Bay ends with a surprise sentence. Live to Fox News Radio's Chris Barnes.
Chef Osama bin Laden's former driver getting 5.5 years for providing material support to terrorism. But Salim Hamdan gets credit for 5 years. He's already served at Gitmo. Now, still, the Pentagon says he'll still be held as an enemy combatant pending annual review. At his sentencing hearing, Hamdan pleaded for leniency, saying he was sorry for ever serving bin Laden.